Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ. Chapter 16. The glory of him who takes away the first and establishes the second. Topic: R. The application of the removal of the first and the establishment of the second in personal life. If there is a first to be removed and a second to be established, this indicates that the two must also be different from each other, so that there is a need for a change, even though both deal with the same topic. If there is a first to be removed and a second to be established, it is also because the two are incompatible with each other to the point that a possible joint coexistence between them is not viable. And if there is a first to be removed for a second to be established, it is because the first, for one or several reasons, actually has in its constitution a temporary and disposable characteristic regarding the one that is introduced last. In the eyes of God, after establishing the facts that revealed more broadly what came last, the so-called second priesthood's availability also implied the non-acceptance or rejection of the so-called first priesthood. There is much information that teaches us about the historical change that took place regarding the so-called first priesthood in the face of the revelation of the second, but, still, one of the main points that stands out ultimately refers to what the implication of this historical change is also for people of the present and how it can be reflected individually in each person's life. Today, the one who faces the subject of the first and second priesthoods already finds defined what the Lord has established in the past, already comes across the condition that the first priesthood has been taken away before God and considered outdated to the world, both natural and spiritual, as well as one also comes across with the reality that the second priesthood has already been established forever before the Lord and presented as such to the world. Nevertheless, one fact needs to be noted with particular attention, and which is the point that although the first priesthood has already been taken away, people still insist on wanting to associate with it or to models that partially adopt the characteristics of the so-called first priesthood. In this last sense, the scriptures inform us that although the first priesthood, its law, and its old covenant have already been declared outdated in the face of a new priesthood, it still remains exposed to the world for a certain period, even it will soon disappear entirely. And looking at the scriptures more broadly, it seems to us that the brief time for the first priesthood to disappear entirely will only occur coincidentally with the end of the world as it is known at present. Hebrews 8:13. In that he says, "A new covenant, he has made the first obsolete." Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. The remark on that something already revoked, obsolete, or outdated still remains in some way may sound strange. However, the scriptures show us that this is a fact that occurs in the world and that many people continued and still continue to seek the first priesthood after its revocation, even hoping that the Lord still will recognize their association with this priesthood. Nevertheless, the scriptures also compare the attempt to re-establish the first priesthood in people's lives as an attempt and proposal of spreading a fascination or enchantment, as a work of subtle cunning and perversity. Galatians 2:19-3, 2. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. O foolish Galatians! Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you: did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? 2 Corinthians 3:14. But their minds were blinded. For until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, or Old Covenant, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Given that it was necessary for Christ to die on the cross of Calvary for the law of the first priesthood to be properly repealed and for God to make the provision for the liberation of people from slavery to this law, seeking to affirm that the obsolete priesthood is still legitimate is a distorted or perverse attempt to try to keep active what enslaved people to try again to subject them to a yoke from which they have already been released, as we are warned in the following text. Galatians 5, 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. This whole matter of taking away a priesthood, its law, and its covenant may seem like a topic not known to many, but in the world, people are continually exposed to changes in laws and repeals of others, creating different rights and obligations at different times and where a person, either by choice or because one is not informed, may try to live under a revoked law even if this no longer gives him or her any rights. And if perhaps a person consciously tries to live according to an old law after it has been repealed, one cannot claim ignorance concerning the new law and might be deluding oneself that his or her personal decision could overcome the condition of not being subject to a new law because one personally chose to subject oneself to an outdated law. Thus, although the choice for a law that has already been repealed appears to be devoid of purpose, there are always people in the world who try to live according to outdated laws even after they have already been warned of their obsolete situation. Attempts to uphold an outdated or repealed law may seem absurd to many, but in practice, this nonsense is not always seen in the same way by everyone, especially when the attempts to maintain an outdated law represent the pursuit of preserving some interest or the wishes of those who think that the maintenance of the law that has been revoked can still provide them with benefits. In this way, let us think, for example, about the revocation of the position of the high number of priests of the first priesthood and that through mediation services also extracted their material supply, in addition to the privileged social positions that this ancient priesthood guaranteed them. How would those priests, who would have their functions revoked by the so-called second priesthood, see a law being declared to them and that made their office not only an invalid service but also an office that came to oppose what God was establishing in favor of those that the priests hitherto mediated, allowing each person to approach God directly without needing the mediator priests anymore? Those priests who were more godly, God-fearing, and who were waiting for the revelation of the second priesthood would most likely receive willingly the newness from God they loved and would also begin to trust in the Lord to be instructed by Him on how to live from that point on, but how many would not pass to oppose and resist the new that was revealed to them? Although the change from one type of priesthood to another is primarily a spiritual definition before God, the practical impacts on professional, family, economic, and social life may also be very broad and significant. From the moment that a priesthood comes to lose its valid condition or function, its priests, temples, buildings, services, sacrifices, and offerings likewise lose the validity they had until that moment. In human history, some interventions may cause much more change than many people even begin to realize. And some interventions in human history are not accepted by many people as they should be not even after centuries and nor if they are granted for the benefit of all, such as the revocation of the first priesthood and the establishment of the second. A small phrase in the scriptures expressed at the beginning of the book of Hebrews saying that God once spoke to us in certain ways, but now He speaks to us in another way, can unfold into many spiritual and natural implications that will not be welcomed by all people. When Christ came in the flesh into the world, there were thousands of priests and Levites associated with the first priesthood who were supposed to act as mediators for the people and what also resulted in thousands of negotiations of sacrifice, offerings, and tithes that were carried out daily. And since tithing was one of the precepts of the first priesthood and that this priesthood was adopted practically on a national level, the collection of this priesthood comprised almost a tenth of the entire economy arising from the plantations and the increase of the nation's herds, in addition to other taxes that the people paid to the other rulers. So, observing the breadth of aspects involved in changing the type of priesthood, that perception that many do not want to accept the new priesthood with a new law and a new covenant does not longer seem so absurd. Knowing these general aspects of the revocation of the first priesthood and the non-acceptance of this revocation by many can be very relevant or crucial, for it shows that although the first priesthood is already obsolete before God, many still want to associate with it. And many do this to try to create before society an idea that each person can choose what seems best to him or her and still have God's approval, or to try to support the idea that even the coexistence of an individual with two priesthoods simultaneously could become acceptable before the Lord, where people supposedly could choose parts of one and parts of the other as they think that better suits them. And in practice, many people indeed have the idea of simultaneously associating with more than one priesthood, doing so even because of pressure from their spouses, family members, and other interests. However, no matter how many people choose these attempts to live associated with multiple priesthoods, they will never be able to re-establish before God the first priesthood or part of it. The first priesthood has already been declared outdated or revoked by the Lord, and Christ has already been revealed as the end of the law and, consequently, also of the first priesthood's covenant. However, many people still present the first priesthood as an option because many individuals still insist on wanting priesthoods according to the model of the first and contrary to the second, despite the first having already been taken away by the Lord. Therefore, understanding that people today still use their prerogatives to be able to make choices to choose priesthoods with characteristics of the first priesthood also becomes a fundamental point for the position that each person takes concerning what God offers him or her. After the Lord took away the first priesthood, he no longer accepts a person's association with this priesthood, to priesthoods similar to the first, or to mixed positions of a person wanting to combine the first with the second priesthood. At the same time, however, people in the world still have the option of choosing by themselves what God has already declared outdated. The fact that God has already announced that the first priesthood is contrary to his will does not mean that the Lord will prevent people from continuing to choose it or associate with it. Nevertheless, considering that in its most recent definition in the scriptures, circumcision has also come to represent a symbol of any act of association of an individual with the first priesthood or similar to it, the choice to join the first priesthood or something similar to it, currently not authorized by the Lord, may cause severe consequences such as the detachment of the person from the priesthood of Christ and an individual falling from the grace of the Lord. According to the exhortation below. Galatians 5:1-5. Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Considering the impossibility of jointly responding to two opposing and contradictory laws regarding one same theme, or the unreasonable situation of association with two entirely antagonistic laws, God does not associate with an individual if one decides to join a priestly covenant contrary to the priesthood in Christ. Since it is not possible to establish common terms between a priesthood that resists God and has already been declared outdated with the priesthood that acts according to the Lord's will, God does not associate with those who want to associate with priesthoods opposed to him, even if an individual intends to associate only in part with what has already been revoked. Before God, for example, it is not acceptable for a person wanting to be justified by the law of the first priesthood, which is based on the fulfillment of the works of this law and where one is guilty if a single item is not fulfilled, and, at the same time, wanting to be justified by grace through faith. Paul explicitly warns that if a person deliberately joins a system of a priesthood where the person is justified by carrying out the works of the law, the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary will not be to his or her advantage. After Christ has already been crucified, a person still insisting on trying to live according to a written law is no longer something recognized by God and expresses a position of dissonance towards the gospel of Christ. Even if people do not respect their own decisions, God respects their decisions or choices of the type of priesthood they want to join, even if they choose an already outdated or revoked priesthood. Does it make sense, for instance, for a person to buy a car and wanting the competing manufacturer to take responsibility for the warranty on the purchased car? Does it make sense for people to associate themselves with a flawed type of priesthood, unable to save and perfect them, and yet expect God to always intervene in their favor when the priesthood they want to be subject does not serve them as desired? Therefore, repeating what we have mentioned in the previous topics, the differences between the first priesthood and the second priesthood are striking, opposing, extreme, and without any possibility of conciliation, combination, and partnership, which is why the only way to start living associated with another priesthood is to leave one to associate with the other. In civil laws around the world, sometimes a condemnatory law is partnered with an acquittal law, but in the case of the first and second priesthoods, this does not apply because the opposition of one to the other does not allow them to be merged or combined. The first and second priesthoods are distinct and not compatible since their constitution and foundation, as we have already seen. Choosing the so-called first priesthood excludes, automatically, the choice for the second, and vice versa. The association with one of them automatically implies opposition and rejection to the other since they are opposed as the flesh and the spirit are opposed. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Thus, an observation that seems to us to be very pertinent at this point and that perhaps afflicts some people is that if someone accepts the removal of the first priesthood according to what God has done, one is not dishonoring the scriptures nor God. On the contrary, one is no longer resisting the Lord as to what is not beneficial for his or her life also to be free to receive what God has always wanted to offer to every human being. Christ did not come to merely announce the imperfection of the old, to revoke what was imperfect, to take away that which in practice was shown to be inefficient and for this reason was also considered outdated or obsolete by the Lord. Christ did not come to merely take away what people had trusted for so many centuries and let them without guidance, direction, or assistance. Christ came to show the imperfection of the systems in which people were inserted in the world, but not without offering them what is superior, perfect, and eternal. Christ came in the flesh into the world to fulfill all the requirements of the law of the first priesthood that were necessary to free people from the weight of sin, the body of sin, and the law of Moses in order to take away the condemnation that these aspects imposed on people, but Christ also came to establish people in the life of freedom that they can have in the Lord who set them free. When Christ died for his disciples to free them from the old man and from the conditions in which this old man was inserted and subjugated, he also said that he would not let them helpless or unassisted. On the contrary, the Lord said that he would always be with them through the Holy Spirit that he would send into their hearts. God does not become intimidated concerning announcing the need that people have to abandon what is not beneficial to them even if they think otherwise, because the new that the Lord offers is superior, helpful, and aims at the true salvation of those who receive it. In many ways and words, the Lord has announced and announces what needs to be taken away and what needs to be established. However, due to the crucial implications that these changes can have in the life of a person who accepts or rejects them, The Lord has given us an entire book of the scriptures aimed at understanding what these changes are and which understanding is so vital to people's life, namely, the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is not only introduced with a narrative about the radical change that took place in God's relationship with people after Christ's death and resurrection. It also sets out in detail what changes have occurred and the actions that were provided so that these changes could be carried out legitimately in order that people can also have the certainty of faith and hope in the righteousness and grace of the Lord if they so wish. Also through the book of Hebrews, for example, the Lord allows us to draw parallels between ineffective ways as to the goal of saving people perfectly compared to the way that leads them to a relationship with the Lord that is indeed beneficial. And this, to allow people, under an adequate understanding, to choose which path they want to follow. The coming of Christ in the flesh into the world or the introduction of a living manifestation of the kingdom of God through the Lord Jesus Christ also by the death on the cross of Calvary, followed by his resurrection, introduced a time in which God started to show his glory to the human beings in an entirely new way. However, God did not do it without taking away the old system practiced by many until Christ came into the world as the Son of Man. After Christ's death and resurrection from the dead, God explicitly announced both the unique way of salvation and reconciliation of people with him and the rejection of any alternative paths that do not indeed save people for eternal life, and this, so that people also know what they are called to reject or take away from their lives. On the other hand, if people do not accept the removal of what through the work of Christ was considered obsolete, they will not only oppose the new established in Christ to become part of their lives, but they also will no longer be able to have the old system with God's authorization as it was in the wilderness and before the coming of Christ in the flesh into the world, because for God, that old system is already outdated, without validity, and about to disappear. From the death and resurrection of Christ from the dead, trying to reassure the affirmation of the first priesthood's validity has become a proposal or an attempt to maintain a deception, enchantment, or some sort of fascination. The fact that people do not know or do not believe that in the glory and the ministry of Christ is also inserted the taking away or revoking the validity of what God declares as revoked and what does not match the new that the Lord came to establish, causes people to try to continue to live associated with something whose approval has already expired. They try to live under something that no longer has legitimacy before the Lord, by this refraining from achieving what really has God's approval and is beneficial to them indeed. Moreover, some people even know that certain permissions and actions already have their approval expired, but out of pride, greedy interest, family tradition, or any other purpose, they do not adopt an adequate posture concerning what has already been revealed and determined by the Lord and do not adopt the attitude that John the Baptist adopted when the new time became manifested before him, as shown in the text below. John 3:30-33. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all, he who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. On the other hand, if an individual does not know with an appropriate clarity that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes, if one does not know the ministry of Christ as the one who removes the old and establishes the new, or if one does not even know to what law do the scriptures refer when they expose the first priesthood, how may he or she come to understand the need to abstain from what is already obsolete and to know more precisely the new that the Lord offers him or her? Therefore, about this last point mentioned in the previous paragraph, we emphasize once again the mercy of God and the call of those who are already in the new priesthood to pray to the Lord, asking that he may extend his mercy to every human being, and to bear witness about Christ in due time. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish but that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy 2, 1-6. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, or in eminent positions, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. In conclusion, we understand that it is worth mentioning here that God's mercy should not be confused with the idea that God will somehow be permissive or complicit with people's mistaken option for the first priesthood or similar to it, for although the Lord's mercy extends itself to saving sinners and those subject to the laws of priesthoods that cause profound oppression, it will never act in contradiction to the Lord's righteousness. Hebrews 12:25-29. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. As seen at the beginning of the current series of subjects, the gospel of God is the expression of the offer of the new priesthood in line with the newness of eternal life in the Lord. And for a proposal to be kept under the characteristic of an offer, it cannot be imposed, and, thus, being up to the recipient of the offer to receive it or reject it. So, in the case of the priesthood of Christ, it is offered to us through the grace of the Lord, but also because of this same grace, the receiving the new implies afterward the need to withdraw from the first priesthood so that an individual may be firmly established forever only in the novelty that is offered from heaven. Hebrews 7:12. For the priesthood being changed, of necessity there is also a change of the law. Titus 2:11-14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. And, in turn, the way to receive the new priesthood offered by God through the gospel, different from the complicated ceremonies of the priesthood that was taken away, is straightforward, remarkably simple, and personal before the Lord, namely. Romans 10:8-9. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In Christ, no one needs, nor it is accepted, that someone outsources one's relationship with God, for the Father himself wants everyone to relate to him, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit through Christ. Therefore, leaving behind the temporal priesthood called first, or similar to it, and choosing life under the Lordship of Christ is the way offered by God to those who receive the salvation that is offered to them from heaven, through the grace of the Lord, also to reach the perfect priesthood for eternal fellowship with God. Acts 10:36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. leaving the old one already announced as disapproved by God after the resurrection of Christ is vital not to delay the deepening of the relationship with the new priesthood, the priesthood in Christ, in which there are so many precious and immeasurable novelties of life waiting to be lived. For this reason, the Lord sent us the gospel, and in which we will try to continue to advance in the next chapters of the present material, now knowing a little more that, in Christ, there is a whole newness full of grace and goodness of God awaiting us.